Amen. Thank you. Okay, so I think we're all clear that this is having hope-filled conversations with our children. We're all in the right place. And this morning's session, we've got two sessions, one today, one tomorrow. This morning's session is the value, purpose, and content of good conversations. So I would love you to leave this morning with a bigger vision of how we can talk to the children and young people in our lives and how we can have those conversations really well and lean into them, okay? And very technical, we're going to do questions on Slido. If it all falls apart, we have got a roving mic and we could go around at the end. But this is just an opportunity if you're not an extrovert and you're not somebody who's used to putting up your hands and shouting out, but you've got a burning question, you can use Slido. So Slido, you log on, slido.com, that's the little hashtag code that you can put in and you can type in your question and I can have a little look at them. And if you ask me a really terribly difficult question, I can have a think about it overnight and answer tomorrow. So there we go, that's the plan, Slido for our questions. Don't worry, don't panic, the little hashtag thing will be on the bottom of the slides as we go through if you're terrible at remembering numbers like me. Okay, so you should have a bookmark. So the bookmark is basically our handout for the next 2 days. Who wants a flappy piece of paper when you can have a bookmark? Matt's going to get his bookmark. Well done, Matt. That's especially for you. So on the front side, that's the bullet points that I'm going to be taking you through this morning and having good conversations with our children. And on the other side, that's our spoiler for what we're talking about tomorrow. So no flappy piece of paper. And if you don't need to panic to write down everything that I say, because it's basically summarised for you on there. Okay? Happy? Okay. This is son number three. This is Isaac. And under his arm, you can see Brian. That's Brian the dinosaur. And this is a picture taken at Chester Zoo. I want to start this morning by telling you about a day in our family life. A fun day out was planned. Four children are preschool at this stage, and we're going to the zoo for the day. I've packed the car, the double buggy is in, the lunch is packed, the changing bag, the snacks, it feels like we're moving house. We've put everything in the car, we've waved off Dad, who's going to work, and we're going to the zoo. Now, we live in Liverpool, Chester Zoo is about 45 minutes, an hour's drive away, so off we go to Chester Zoo. And as we get on the motorway, the lovely M56, a little voice pipes up from the back of the car. Mum, where are we going? And when will we come back? The four children that I've packed up in the car, I suddenly realise, oh, there's a crucial point to all of my preparation for the day that I've missed out on. I haven't talked to the children about it. They've got no idea where we're going and they've got no idea what is happening. And for three of my four children, who are a little bit younger, they're quite happy with this. They don't have a clue what's going on in most of their life. So they confidently expect a day of adventure and they'll be home in time for tea. For one of my children, who's a little bit more of a worried sparrow, the events of moving from foster care to our family home are a bit more of a recent memory. So in his head, he's starting to think, lots of stuff in the car, waving off Dad. A car packed full on the big road. A long journey. Will I see Dad again? Am I moving house again? Without his question, he could have stayed with that big worry in his heart and in his head all day long. And I could have missed it. How long are we going and when will we be back? When we arrived at the zoo, clearly I'm driving on a motorway, so we're not stopping at this point to deal with this. When we arrived at the zoo, in the zoo car park, we can have a hope-filled, God-connected, important conversation. Now, it sounds very complicated, but it goes like this. Big hug. Big hug. Thank you for asking me that question. What a brilliant question. Sorry, I didn't tell you what the plan was for today. Let me tell you. We are going to go to the zoo. We're going to see the animals. We're going to have a great day. And we're going to go home for tea and tell Dad all about it. God gave you to us, us to you. We are a family. Let's just pray. God, thank you for making us a family. Thank you for being kind to us. Help us to enjoy today. We'd really like to see some zebras. Amen. Off we go. The Christian distinctive about that conversation, every parent wants to reassure their child. Every parent wants to say good things to their children. As a Christian, there's an extra thing that we can say. God has given you to us, us to you. He is good. We can trust him in the hard moments with our big questions and in the good moments of a day, like when we see a zebra. Does that sound doable? Does that sound terrifying? Or does that sound, if my brain is slightly in gear, that I could have these kind of chats with my kid? And I could look for moments to talk about truth. And I could say sentence prayers, even if I feel a little bit daft, out loud, until the point that it becomes routine and normal in our family life. We had a great day at the zoo. We did see zebras. And my son was so excited to see a zebra that he did a wee. So we did the normal stuff of having to change our clothing. There we go. Right. Why do we do this? Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children, on you children, but on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. This is Moses talking to the gathered people of God. They've got 0 to 190. They lived a long time in those days. They're all gathered together. And Moses is saying, talk to your children and your grandchildren about the things of the Lord. About his goodness, about his law that reveals his character, about his great heart, about his great love. He says this to the people who are at home, who are walking along the road, and who are sitting down and putting their kids to bed. Now, I don't know about you and I don't know about your church, but in my church, that job is not the Sunday school teacher and that job is not the youth leader. The person walking their kids home from school is, generally speaking, the parent. The person at home is, generally speaking, the parent. It's us, it's our job to talk to them about faith. It's our job to talk to them about his goodness. So I don't know about you, but walking along the road, lying down, getting up, staying in, or going out somewhere, that pretty much covers all of life, doesn't it? It covers all of life. Talking about the things of God doesn't stay in Sunday's box. It goes everywhere. In the rest of that verse, it talks about wrapping the truth on your wrists, on the doorposts of your house, and even stamping it on your head. It should literally be everywhere. God's truth at work in the lives of our families. Nowhere is off limits to God. Nowhere is he not interested. So here are my two first bullet points of how we can have good conversations with our children. Number one, it's not going to be a surprise, make space to talk. Carve out some space in the schedule. Family life can be ridiculous. There's badminton Monday, cricket Tuesday, we're staying after school, there's swimming lessons Thursday, they need to do that, they might drown if they can't swim. There's homework club Friday, there's footy match, there's Sunday church, there's birthday parties. Suddenly, before we know it, nobody has spent any time together in a whole week. And that's even without thinking about work and spending time with friends and seeing family. It can be really difficult. If you as a family are not sitting around the dinner table once or twice a week to eat and say, how was your day? What happened? What was good about your day? What was rubbish about your day? What do you think God thinks about that? It's really not going to be the easiest place to have conversations. Make space to talk. There's also an element of confidence about this. Back at the zoo, it would have been easy for me to feel nervous. This is a big emotional conversation that he needs to have. There's all these feelings about being secure with us that we need to address. I don't really want to do it in the zoo car park. I'll wait till I feel like I'm in control and I've got something good to say. I'll plan an answer and or I'll just avoid it completely and bustle on with my day. Making space to talk helps your child know that you are the safe space for them to take their questions. Don't overpack the schedule. Do you make time to respond in the moment? Children live in the moment. That feeling for him was in that moment. If I got home at the end of the day and said, now I've thought about it, I've got a really good answer to the question you asked this morning, he will have no idea what question he asked this morning. In the moment, drop everything, try and make time to talk. David McKee, who is a Christian psychologist, he was a guest on one of our Faith in Parents episodes recently. It's an excellent episode. He was really helpful. He works for the largest NHS trust in Europe, and he works in the largest mental health trust in Europe, specialising in talking to children and young people. He shared with me this rather terrifying stat. 95% of children and young people don't have 45 minutes of an adult's time. 95% of children and young people don't have 45 minutes of an adult's time. He is a guy who works with children and young people who are going through crisis and are in a tough place where we would say the wheels have really fallen off. He loves his job. He says it's the best part of his week, and he does the best job in the world because he spends 45 minutes with children and young people, 45 minutes one at a time, where he turns off all of his devices, listens to them, and journeys with them. Amazing. So let's make space to talk, and let's also remember there's a next step that we can take. We don't want to just have good conversations with our children and be emotionally connected to them. We want to say, what truth is there to say about God in this moment, and what prayer could we pray? What is there to say and what is there to pray? A hope-filled, God-connected conversation happened in the zoo car park, and the key moments of that conversation were reassurance. I love you. I'm here for you. I'm the one who wants to talk to you about this stuff. Role confirmation. God's given you to me, me to you. I'm the parent. You're the child. We're supposed to work this out together. And a God connection moment. What truth can I speak to you about? And what prayer can I pray? All that deep and meaningful stuff is happening with a hug and a couple of sentences that mention God in a zoo car park. As part of the Faith in Kids team, we travel around the country and we talk to different parents in different places. I want to give you another example of a couple that I spoke to up in Glasgow. Absolutely lovely couple. I met them on holiday, actually, and then they turned up again at the church that we were at doing a presentation. It was lovely to see them, and their kids are fab. And because I'm the kind of parent who says, come on, tell me how's it going. Tell them what the real stuff is. Where are the arguments happening in your family life? And Dad is a minister, and Mum is a lovely Christian lady. And they were brave enough to be honest and said, listen, our daughter is driving us crackers. She is driving us crackers, and we are arguing all the time about skirts. It's like, wow, we're arguing all the time about skirts. Tell me more. I could imagine where this was going. So she's just started secondary school, and she's decided that she needs to be somebody different from who she is to fit in. So I don't know if any of you have been here, but the skirt is getting rolled and rolled and rolled and going higher and higher and higher up her legs. And Dad is not okay with this. So Dad, there's been quite a lot of arguments about the skirts. So I said, great. I love it when there's a bit of drama because God is always working in those moments. Tell me about how the conversation about the rolling up skirt is going. And Dad, who is a lovely, lovely Christian man, puts his head in his hands and says, well, I'm basically shouting at her and tell her, you're not going out like that. You look like a tart. And I've said, listen to your mother. Your mother says, stop it. You should listen to your mother and you can't go out like that. I said, great. That's really good. That's great. So if we were trying to apply the principles of what is there to say and what is there to pray to this very normal situation, what do you think we could improve that? Why don't you want her to go out with an ever-increasing short skirt? Could there be a truth behind that big feeling in you? I just want her to know that she's beautiful, and I want her to know that she's valuable, and I don't want her to sell herself short. And she's fearfully and wonderfully made, and she's a beautiful girl, and her mother's beautiful, and she doesn't dress like that, so she should just do what her mother does. It's you know what? Just take that little bit off the end. You know that bit you said at the beginning? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a beautiful daughter who I delight in. Who I delight in just in the same way as I delight in your mother. I value you so much that I would want you to value yourself more. I want you to... That's why I'm getting stressed about the skirt. Because you are so precious and so beautiful to me. And if that's how I feel as just your earthly dad, how much more does your heavenly father feel that way about you? He said, I know all that. Nothing you've just said to me there is not what I already know. But in that moment of emotion, I'm just not thinking like that. I'm just thinking, get your skirt down. Wonderful. Look how just a little moment, take a breath, stop the panicking people from running around in your head and say, what truth is there to say and what prayer is there to pray? Okay, now, you did very well to get up and get out in the morning and to all be here listening and to have moved from the far corner to the middle. Thank you. But I'm going to make you talk to one another. Now, you don't have to worry. This is not going to suddenly turn into group therapy where I come round and say, and what are you arguing about in your house? No, I'm going to give you some examples. If you don't want to talk about what you're arguing about in your house, this is what you can talk about instead. And I'd love you to think those two first points, you don't have to do everything, because if you can practice, start to get your head around it, it'll go much better in real life. What is there to say or pray, and how could you make space for this conversation? And they're on your bookmarks, so those first two points. How can you make space for this conversation, and what is there to say or pray? So I'm going to leave this up. These are real people. So Thomas is 5, and he absolutely loves the TV show Singing Monsters. Now, you don't need to understand what Singing Monsters is, because even if you've watched Singing Monsters, you still don't really know what's happening. He absolutely loves the TV show Singing Monsters, and he can talk to you about it for hours. So you could, I'm sure we could all exchange the thing that our kid wants to talk to us about for hours in there. He doesn't pause for breath. But he doesn't show much interest in talking about the things of Christ. How could you make space for conversation? What is there to say or pray? Beth is 9, and she says she has no friends at school. And over time, it would seem like this is actually the case. She's not just being dramatic and attention-seeking. It's a regular cause of tears at bedtime. She dreads going to school. She has to spend a lot of playtimes on her own, walking around, trying to look busy. How could we make space for conversation? When could it happen? When would be a good time in the day? What could you do? And what is there to say or pray? Okay, you've got 7 minutes for conversation, and if you use all that time, you can put a question in on Slido. Okay, be brave, choose a person, talk to the person next to you. Are you going to talk about Thomas? Are you going to talk about Beth? You're going to talk about what you have for breakfast. Well done. I'm very proud of you all. Well done for jumping in and talking well. There wasn't awkward silence. Good for you. I'd love a little bit of feedback of what you thought. Anybody want to be brave enough to share what they're going to do about Thomas? Anyone went for Thomas? Anyone went for Thomas? Did you all? You all went for Beth? No one went for Thomas? Come on. Poor Thomas. Is it? Go on, Jodie, hang on. We all want to hear you. You do your Annika.
Yeah, talked about it a little bit, but not really got into really great depth about it. So I've got a 5-year-old granddaughter, and actually she's always singing Christian songs and putting Christian songs on her tablet and all this sort of thing. Like, it doesn't, it's not really an issue, but she's in some ways more like Beth, as in, not that she's no friends at school, but she doesn't like school. You know, mm-hmm. she gets upset about going to school in the morning. So that, it's just kind of like somewhere between the two of them, really.
Okay, great. We'll come back to that later. I think we are, as parents, we're generally better at, in the moment that there are tears and there are things that are hard, because we know we've got a comfort to offer. We can tell them that God loves them. We can tell them that Jesus is with them. We can keep talking about these things. But in those moments, it just seems, I don't really know what to do here. It's just talking about this Singing Monsters programme, as hard as to make a connection.
Sorry, my voice isn't very good. I was just thinking about my 6-year-old, and I think my temptation in that kind of time when he's babbling on about maths normally is to say that, well, that's great, but now I want to talk about this important thing.
Yeah.
And coming from kind of teaching job before children, I was thinking actually they're more engaged when you're asking them questions. So yeah. Trying to listen to what he's saying and actually give him, like you said, about the time, and then maybe, like, I was struck by your question about, well, what do you think God thinks about that? Which yeah. maybe when they're 5 or 6 yeah. is a bit big, yeah. but maybe something specific. Like,
but if your son loves maths, what do you love about maths? What's the best thing? What's the best thing you've done today? Mm-hmm. Adding up, taking away, what stuff are you learning? Oh, what do you think God thinks about that? How do you think God puts stuff together? How do you think God takes things away? What could we learn about God when we're doing maths? For Thomas, now I practiced these on my husband, and he was like, I totally know what to do with Beth. I've no idea what to do with Thomas. So I was like, wow. But I think that's probably because I'm used to working with little ones a little bit more. So I'll just give you a few little examples. Singing monsters. What do you think singing monsters do? They sing. Where do you hear people sing, Thomas? Where do you go when you hear people sing? Amazing. What do they sing about? Ah, what do the singing monsters sing about? We have no idea. All kinds of things. When do you hear lots of grown-ups sing about, in church, about Jesus? What do you think of that? What could our group name be? What would our character be if we were on Singing Monsters and we were singing about Jesus? You know what? I think there's some Bible verses in the Bible about singing. I'm going to find what they are. And I'm now having a panic in my head because I don't know where any of them are, but I think they might be in Psalms. But it's okay, because God has given us Google for that. Psalm about singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, look, we can have a conversation about singing. Now, you did that with me. Was that hard? Would any of you have done that in normal life? Maybe, maybe not. The other thing I think is we get in that panic that we have to know the Bible verse. We don't. Literally, God has given us Google. And as your children get older, you can show them, here's an app on your phone, here's the Bible app, and here's the search function. I remember a Bible verse we did once about mountains. Let's just put mountain in the top. Oh, look, there they are. Amazing. You could be giving them skills for life. Let's move on to talk about Beth. We need to be on it today because we've got to be out of here for the young people at 10:30. So anybody, can we talk about Beth? You've all gone quiet. Go on. Yes.
I'm close to you as well.
Enthusiasm.
We talked about Beth and actually just giving her some time, because I think both of us admitted that we like to rush and fix things. Mm-hmm. And actually what's much better if we stop and let God speak in that situation.
Amazing.
And just trying really hard to hold that back and going, oh, we could invite someone for a play date, we could do this, we could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually just go, oh, yeah, that's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where does your mind go? What do you think about in those moments? What could you be thinking about? And hopefully, because they're that bit older, they might start going, oh, yeah, I can remember that God's with me. But actually, if they don't come with that, yeah. you could start adding that in.
Yeah.
And talk about, well, what about praying in that moment when you're feeling a bit lonely? Because God does answer our prayers. And he might not immediately, but wouldn't that be great if sometimes you pray and actually someone then invites you into your game because you'll know that God is speaking in that moment? That was kind of where we went.
Amazing, amazing. We're like parent ninjas, aren't we? Our kids come to us with a problem, or if your aunties, uncles, carers, grandparents, They come to us with a problem and we want to fix it. We want to go, bang, here you go, I've fixed it. You're struggling with friends, don't worry, there's a party, I'm inviting this, we're doing there, we're doing this. There is a moment we could just say, wow, what is there that we could be learning about God right here? What journey could he be taking us on? He doesn't make mistakes and he doesn't get us wrong. And it might not be the journey that we choose, but he's good, so it's going to be good. And it might be painful and it might be hard and it might be long and it might involve lots of praying, but it will be good.
Do you not have to get behind why she has no friends at school? Is it not quite a psychologically difficult thing?
It can be.
You're dealing with.
It could be. So there are great questions that we could ask. There's more that we could find out about what is going on. Why is she struggling with friendship? You're totally right. There could be perhaps some other problems going on that we could get to the bottom of or try and find out a bit more about. But if we're starting to make space to talk about it and we're starting to pray, we're starting to make some progress in this area, aren't we? Okay, we're going to move on. Okay. Connection moments. If we thought about the conversations that we have about faith and about Jesus with our kids, I wonder if our lifeline of when they happen could look a little bit more like this. So my big peak, my heartbeat, Sunday. On a Sunday, we maybe have a chat about the things of God. Or maybe before tea, we pray and we do a little roundup of the day. I thank him for the stuff that's happened, and we open one eye and cover the stuff that's on the table. Thank you for the tomato ketchup. And that could be the only connection moment in our week or in our life when we talk about God. It's okay, but it could be better. Imagine if it looked a little bit more like this. Imagine if at all those moments and all those chats that we could have, we could start to say, what could we learn about God here? What could we see about him? What conversation could we have? Where could we go? So real life conversation with the delicious Michael, who's in my church and in my Sunday school class the other Sunday. Michael, tell me, church, what's good about church? Now, if I'm his parent, I'm obviously a little bit more stressed about this conversation. It's probably a little bit more loaded. And I'm looking for what I learnt today in Sunday school, which was this and this and this. But because I'm not, Michael, tell me about church. What was good about it? Oh, you know what was good about it today? The biscuits were amazing. Now, if I'm the parent driving home from church and I've asked, parenting connection, God moment. What did we learn about in Sunday school today? I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, so frustrated. Well, you're not listening. The stress is coming because we want good for you. We want you to know the truth. But Michael, what was good about church today? The biscuits. Okay, I don't know what to do with that. Yeah, you do. What was good about the biscuits? They were really nice ones. There was jammy Dodgers and there was rainbow cookies. Nice. Who was on the rota today for that? Who was giving out the biscuits? Oh, it was Ranelle. Ranelle? She bought nice biscuits for church today. Why do you think she bought nice biscuits for church today? I don't know. Come on. Why would she have bought not just rich tea, but she went rainbow cookies and jammy Dodgers? Well, maybe she likes us. I think she likes you, Michael. But you know what? I also think when she buys biscuits for church, she's thinking, I'm buying biscuits for Jesus. Jesus gets the best. This is one of the really good things about being in church, is you're around other people who care for you and love you and want you to enjoy being here. So when Ranelle bought the biscuits, she bought them because she knows that you love them. This is one of the really brilliant things about being part of God's family. Suddenly, we've had a really good conversation, oh my goodness, you didn't listen to anything. What is the point? We can go there with all these things. Okay. We're carrying on your bookmark, the next thing. Welcome questions, especially hard ones. The question that I was asked from the back of the car on the way to the zoo might have surface level not seemed that hard. But my response helped my son know that he could come back to me on this stuff and that God had something to say too. I've had much harder conversations than this one since. I've had the question about where babies come from. That happened in the car whilst navigating a five-way roundabout. I've had the, "Mum, I think I might be bisexual," comment while I was chopping vegetables for tea. I nearly lost a finger. That conversation happened because of confusion over a lesson in school, responding to say, "Tell me what you think you might mean by that. Tell me what that is in your head." And her explaining to me that in school they've been told that if you like boys and you like girls, that's what we call it. And me saying, "No, darling, you're nine. You're nine. If you like boys and you like girls, that means you're a good friend." And all of those conversations offer further down the line because they're about adult feelings and you're not an adult yet. I've had harder conversations that went like this. "Mum, what did I do wrong that meant that I needed to be adopted?" If I leap to answer that question with, "No, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that, that's not true." As much as that might be what I'm feeling in my heart at that moment, I don't want to slam the door on my children coming to me with their really big fears. I want to say, "Wow, that is such a hard and a big thing to think and feel. You must have been carrying that around for a really long time, and you've been really brave to tell me. Come here." With many of those questions, often as parents, we feel we need to have the brilliant answer ready, the silver bullet solution to the thing that they've asked, the bang, done. You've now got an excellent, pithy statement written and stamped in your memory. That's fixed it. The reason our children live with us for, in the most part, 18 years, is because we're supposed to keep talking about these things. We're supposed to keep talking and living it out and working it out so when they come to us with a question that makes your head spin and the little men inside run around going, "Wah!" The best outcome is to take a breath and say, "Thank you for asking me that question. I need to think about it because it's big and I love that you've asked me. Let's go out for a milkshake tomorrow when I've had a little bit of a moment to think." You don't have to give them the pithy, perfect answer, but you do want them to leave thinking, "My parents love me and they want to talk about this stuff with me." Now, as someone who's been involved in kids and youth work for many years, I'll tell you two other principles that you can bear in mind when you're answering a question. Try and keep it simple and try and make the abstract concrete. So in the answer that I gave to my son about the adoption question, I spoke to him about a little baby in church that he knows. Think of baby Jack. We love baby Jack. What can baby Jack do to tell us that he's not okay? He can cry. That's all he can do. Do you think we could ever blame baby Jack that he's done something wrong that mean that the grown-ups around him can't look after him? No, we couldn't. No, we couldn't. Baby Jack is a precious gift from God, and he deserves and is worthy of brilliant care. That's why adoption has happened for you. That's why you're with us. You didn't do anything wrong. Explore answers together. Whatever age our children are, talking things through can be an adventure we take together, as we already heard in our brilliant chat. When your child talks to you about the friendship fallout, don't jump to fix it. How do you feel? You know, when you're walking around the playground at lunchtime, what's that like? Tell me how that feels in your tummy. Tell me how that feels in your head. I think that's so hard. I'm going to pray for you. So Beth and her dad have prayed together and talked together and hoped that God would show up in those situations. And Beth felt a little bit less alone as she wandered around the playground because she knew that her dad loved her and cared about her and understood a little bit about how she felt, which helped her understand a little bit more how her Heavenly Father felt and how he understood and how he was with her. I can tell you, as an independent observer of the Beth and her dad situation, that Beth has learned how to be a welcoming and kind friend to others. I have rarely seen anyone kinder than her, including a younger girl. God gave her a powerful gift that day through those years that she wouldn't have chosen and her dad wouldn't have chosen for her, that has become her secret weapon. And as she heads out into a life of faith, into a life of helping out in Sunday school, let me tell you, there's no little girl who is left on their own in our Sunday school. And as she heads out into wanting to do children's nursing, I have no doubt that God knew what he was doing in that day. I'm going to give you a final time to talk. You've only got 4 minutes. You're going to have to pick one and be fast. I'm not particularly interested in you getting pulled into the detail. I want you to think, how do you keep this conversation going? How do you welcome the question and not give them the answer, but explore it together? So Isaac is 9. He wants to know why he can't have a smartphone like everyone else in his class. Okay? Temptation here is for us to all go, well, what do your parents do? What do your parents do? What does everybody else do? How are you going to explore his question together? What's behind it? What does he think about? What could you say? Hannah is 6, and she asks, how can we get to heaven to visit Auntie Chloe? Okay? Next 2 points on your bookmark. 4 minutes, pick one, go. Okay, guys, sorry, that was a really, really short time to talk. Sorry. So I want you to talk to one another, not particularly, this is going to sound terrible, not particularly because I need you to give me the answer, but the point of that is for you to start to think about what could that look like, how could that conversation go better, how could I approach it differently. So in the Isaac one, I'd be interested in you exploring the why can't I be like everyone else. I'd be interested in you saying, how does that feel for you? What is that like? Why is that annoying? Why do you think that is? Why are we making different choices for you? And the temptation as a parent is because me parent, you child, shush. I say no. But there's a wonderful conversation that we can have about the why of that. That they might leave feeling equally as frustrated with you, but they might understand a little bit more about it. And Hannah being 6, and how can we get to heaven to visit Auntie Chloe? I just want to share with you, this is a conversation, it's not about Auntie Chloe. This is with my daughter. This is when she was 6. And just so you know, it's not all theory. It's a real live conversation.
Isla, can you tell me any things in life now that are sad and hard? What kind of things make us cry?
Dreams.
Bad dreams?
When you've hurt yourself.
When you've hurt yourself. What else makes us cry?
About Grandpa.
About Grandpa. What is it about Grandpa that makes you cry? You want to see him again. And can you see him again?
He's dead.
Where is he?
He's in heaven.
He is in heaven. So it is really sad that we don't get to see him anymore. But isn't he somewhere amazing? Look, I'm drawing a picture. What's my picture?
Palace.
A palace. And whose palace is it?
Jesus.
And where is Grandpa?
In Jesus.
In Jesus's palace. He is. What do you think he's doing? He's having loads of fun, isn't he? He is having loads of fun. Look at him. Look, I'm drawing him with a great big smile. Do you think he needs to walk with his walking frame anymore? No. What do you think he might be doing? talking. Tell me what heaven is like. What do you think it's like? Fun. How is it fun?
You get to play lots of games.
Get to play lots of games? Wow, that sounds amazing. And what do you think's there?
Jesus.
Okay. And what else?
Birds that can sing.
Birds that can sing. Brilliant. What else?
Plants you can smell.
And what can you feel?
Tickly grass.
You can feel tickly grass. Oh, that's great. And what do you think you'll be able to do?
Play with Grandpa.
Play with Grandpa. And play with who else?
My friends.
Your friends. And who else?
Jesus.
Jesus. Do you think Jesus will come and play? What kind of game do you think we'll be able to play with him?
Twirly birds.
Twirly birds. Oh, I think he'd love playing twirly birds. Wow. And do you think that there'll be any bad dreams in heaven? Absolutely not. There'll be none of those. And we'll be with Jesus all of the time. What about falling over and hurting yourself? We'll be able to stay there all of the time with Jesus. So remembering these things will help us with all of these things, won't they?
What I particularly wanted you to notice about that conversation was that I deliberately went there. I started it. I said, tell me the things that make you sad. Because I knew that having lost Grandpa relatively recently, that was a thing for her. So on a day when she was happy, I made her cry. And we talked about it. And I tried to do the thing that I said before. We talked simple and we talked, made the abstract concrete. So nowhere in the Bible will you find their reference to being twirly birds or tickly grass, particularly in heaven. But what does she understand? She understands a world where she loves playing with her friends, and she understands a world where the flowers smell and the grass is tickly and twirly birds is a great game. So when she makes a real live connection that Grandpa is in heaven with tickly grass, it's a real place, and Jesus is a real person who we can interact with, and that might look like playing twirly birds, that's absolutely wonderful. We want to make it simple and we want to make the abstract concrete. Last couple of things to mention in a flying whistle stop tour of our last 3 minutes before we need to leave the room. Naming fears and listing feelings is really helpful. We want to give our children words that they might not be able to find. So when our children are little, they don't understand their emotions terribly well themselves. So when we start to describe ours to them as adults, it's really helpful. If you've ever spent any time with underates, when they come and tell you that they've got a tummy ache, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean, and how many mums answer in this way, do you need the toilet? Do you need a drink? Do you need a sit down? Are you not very well? Or are you a bit sad? Our tummies, to us as children, are very confusing places. You can have a fizzy tummy because you feel excited. You can have an achy tummy because you feel worried. You can have an uncomfortable tummy because you need the toilet. You can have lots of different feelings happening in your tummy. For children, this is often the seat of our emotions. I remember explaining to my son the difference between worry, excitement, constipation, and nerves. And together, we worked out how to describe all of those different feelings, and he was delighted. Don't overthink. What if I put ideas in their head that weren't there? Are you worried about friends? Are you sad about this? Are you thinking about this a lot? Experts tell us that it's not a thing. If we ask them, is this something that you're thinking about a lot right now, and it's not, they do generally tend to say, no, you weirdo. Or they might say, wow, yes, but I didn't know how to explain it, and you've just said it. Yes, that's a big deal. And you can talk about it. Asking what Bible truth could help us here. As I said before, it's not a test. You can Google Bible verses you've forgotten. You can pick some familiar stories. You can say, if you're struggling with friendships, you know what? Jesus had lots of friends who were his disciples, and all kinds of dramas happened with them. One of them really let him down. We could look at that. One of Jesus' closest friends, Peter, he betrayed him. How did Jesus speak to him afterwards? Or, you know what, if the only Bible story you know is the lost sheep, it's absolutely fine. You can learn a lot from that. There's a shepherd who loves and cares. There's a shepherd who brings us back. You can use whatever truth your child knows to say, what does that tell us about God? One of the favourite Bible stories I used to read my children when they were little was the story of the forgiving father. The son that left home, that come back, the older brother who's a bit snotty. It's been so useful in all of my life as a parent, because we generally have the kid who's messed up or the kid who's being arrogant. And the constant is the forgiving father who's trying to talk to them and trying to help them understand stuff. And one of the favourite Bible books I used to read, it was a hardback book when they were little, about the God who welcomed home and forgave. The final sentence in that book I loved said, God is like that. The partying father who welcomes us home. Okay, you've done really well. We've made it to the end. I just want to encourage you, as parents who might be thinking, hopefully not, but you might be tempted to think, you know what my kids need? They need you. Because you sounded really good when you talked about those things. Listen, everyone can sound good in a seminar because they've planned it. But what I want to remind you, let's imagine we're back in the zoo car park and you've basically said, don't think I'm the right person for this job. Let me give you a hug. Let me tell you, you are God's gift to your children. You are God's gift. If you're a grandparent, you're an auntie, you're carer, whoever you are God's gift to the children in your life, just as they are God's gift to you. He's literally put you together and he doesn't make a mistake. You have got this because God is with you to help you. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you are the perfect Heavenly Father. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love the children in our lives even more than we do. Father, inspire us today to take the time to point to you, to talk of you more naturally, and to show our children what loving and trusting you looks like in the everyday. Amen. Okay, I've got a few questions on the Slido. I'm going to save those for tomorrow. The Slido is going to stay open, so if there's anything else that you wanted to ask, you can. Try and spend some time in the next 5 minutes thinking as you walk out the building. Because we love the young people and the youth work. What one next step would you like to take?